Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
So all across the country, we've been seeing, you know, all of these town halls going on, all of the, well, the unwashed masses out in the streets demanding that their representatives pay attention, that they hear that our issues are, well, at least pretended to be heard. So when I saw this video from Wisconsin of a guy standing up asking a question only to have a policeman behind him basically throw him back into his chair, I'm going, there's something seriously wrong when someone's asking a question only to be manhandled by the police. So I thought, you know what, we should find out what that was all about. And that's why I've asked Kari Pennebaker to come talk with us, a former congressional candidate in Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District, to come talk with us. Kari, thanks for taking time.
Thanks for having me on.
So explain this. I mean, we've got a video up at thericksmithshow.com where people can take a look at of a policeman basically coming behind you and, you know, throwing you into the chair. What happened?
So that was about an hour and 10 minutes into the town hall. And the congressman will bring a gavel with him to all of his town halls. In fact, on his congressional website, he's got a press release that says, have gavel, will travel. And I find that inappropriate and offensive. So I had, in fact, going to the town hall, I did not intend on speaking at all. I wanted to actually just listen to what the other people in the audience were going to say, the questions they were going to ask. And so as I was listening to this, when there was dissension in the audience, when the congressman would say something, he would bang his gavel to shut people up. And I think that's wrong. I mean, he is in no position of authority to quiet anybody using a gavel. We're not in court. We're not using Robert's rules. He's not a judge. He's no one's parent in that room. So to shut people up like that was wrong. And what happened was there was an exchange between a woman in the front row and a congressman about Donald Trump and the KKK. And the congressman said something to the effect of, you need to give us credit or applaud us when we do something right. And I said from the back, well, do something right and we will. And he started banging his gavel because other people started to chime in. And I stood up and said, we pay you $174,000 not to swing a gavel at us. That is wrong. And it was, I mean, the whole interchange between the congressman and myself lasted about less than 3 seconds. The officer grabbed me almost immediately after I stood up. And for one, he didn't announce that he was an officer. I would in no way strike an officer or pull away from him. I had no idea it was a cop. There were a number of Trump supporters in the room who were also screaming at me while I was standing. And I thought it was one of them. I didn't know it was a cop grabbing me. And the more I tried to pull away, the harder he was pulling me, and he physically sat me down. And you can see in the video that once I turn around and I see him, I stop. I don't jaw at him. I don't go at him about anything. I just simply said, okay, turned around and was quiet. I'm in a district where I'm an obvious minority. So I was like, hey, I don't want to do anything that's going to get me hurt. Right. One way or the other from anybody. But the essence of the issue here, you can talk about what the police did on one end, because there was an overwhelming feeling of police presence in that room. In fact, the Esquire magazine noted how many officers were there. It was just odd that you'd have that many police present like that. But no one else had the police approach them but me. I was in the back row of seats. I was at least 40 feet away from the congressman. And if you watch the video, you'll notice no one in that room moved when I stood up. So if no one moved, that means they weren't alarmed, they weren't scared, they weren't threatened. You don't see the congressman jerking and trying to hide or anything like that. No one felt threatened. And again, I was a significant distance away. My hands are out. So that would mean there was no reason for anybody to grab me.
Other than the loud black guy stood up.
I mean, there is that, right? I mean, I was the only person of color that was an adult in the room, and I felt it was beyond odd that, for one, that the officer was able to get to me that quick, which means he had to have been close to me the entire time, but that he would have felt the need to touch me and to physically restrain me and put me in my chair. As compared to simply saying, sir, can you please sit down?
Yeah.
That none of this seems to be appropriate or the way that town hall should be conducted.
No, I'm with you. And when I saw the video, I was outraged. I'm like, look, you know, this is supposed to be where the passions of the people are on display. This is where you go and you have your voice heard. And to have, right, you know, the police, the state, if you will, basically throw you on under the chair and shut you up. I've got serious problems with that.
And I do as well. But even before that, what precipitated the issue, though, is the exertion of this perceived authority that Congressman Sensenbrenner believes he has over his constituents and the people in that room.
Yeah.
To where, you know, you bring a gavel to silence people. I mean, it's really a shtick. It's a thing that he's got, because he, you know, in, about 10 years ago was in a congressional hearing where he was banging his gavel and then decided to shut the cameras off from C-SPAN and literally walk out of the room. So that's really his thing, right? That's, he's just keeping that little theme going. But at the end of the day, you go to a town hall so that you can listen to the concerns of everybody that that lives in your district, or at least the ones that show up to those events. I mean, what he does, though, he doesn't really care about the concerns of people in that room. He just simply wants to say, well, I had another town hall. I showed up. There's dissension. And, you know, chalk this up to me being brave. That's not bravery, and that's truly not leadership.
Yeah.
If leadership would have said, hey, let's look back at when the older gentleman tried to interrupt President Barack Obama last fall, and the guy was a veteran, and Barack Obama told the crowd to be quiet. We need to respect our elders, respect those in the military, respect the fact that this man doesn't agree with us, and there's no need to argue with him, withdraw at him, or be violent or physical with him. That's leadership. You step in and you say, this is simply wrong. We don't need to treat our citizens like this. But he sat there. He didn't do a thing, and he let it happen.
Yeah, but here, this is a guy who, you know, I would argue drunk with power, 38 odd years as a congressman.
Right.
The guy who brought us the Patriot Act, the Real ID Act, a lot of this really ugly authoritarian stuff. So it's not surprising to me as someone from the outside to see Sensenbrenner in this role.
Right. Yeah, it's not at all. And that's actually some of the thing I was thinking about as I was going to the event, because I knew the majority of the crowd was going to be upset with Republican attempts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. And I was thinking about putting this in context of the Patriot Act. So, yes, he is the author of the Patriot Act, architect of it, something that is as intrusive into our personal lives as you can get. Well, he has commented since 2013 about how the Patriot Act has been abused and it needs to be fixed. Well, if his bill, his law, can be fixed where he sees that there are problems, why can't the Affordable Care Act be fixed?
Right.
You have to ask yourself, what is the genesis of this issue? And it's got nothing to do with trying to fix healthcare. It's all about trying to harm even during the president's tenure, trying to hurt his presidency, and now trying to hurt his legacy.
Yeah.
So they have no real care or concern about fixing healthcare, because if they did, they wouldn't have waited until we had the Affordable Care Act to do it. Sensenbrenner has been in office for my entire life, right? I just turned 39. So the fact that this man has been in there that long, he knows how the levers of government work. He knows how to get problems solved if he chooses to do so. But he didn't. You look back and before the Affordable Care Act, when companies like WellPoint were kicking women off of healthcare policies if they had a chance of getting breast cancer, you didn't hear anything from Sensenbrenner on those kinds of things. But now we have the Affordable Care Act. The president, President Obama, trying to give people affordable healthcare that actually did something and made people's lives better. And it needs to be fixed. It surely does. And had he had help from Republicans since 2010, we could have made those adjustments, but they chose not to. That's playing politics with people's lives. That is fundamentally wrong.
No, I'm right there with you. And even beyond that, this is about undoing the entire 20th century, undoing the New Deal, undoing the Great Society, and putting us back into that those wonderful days of the robber barons and, you know, pay or die healthcare, or, you know, hey, you're on your own, buddy.
Right. And, they don't really care. I mean, they pretend that they do. They ran on a platform of repeal and replacement, but they found out governing is not the same as rhetoric. It's easy to complain, and it's easy to go out on the stump and spout out bumper sticker style headlines, but the actual act of governing is different. When you actually put policy to paper and try to come up with plans that make people's lives better, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that they are willing to be that dishonest with policy and are willing to risk people's lives like that. To me, it's a shame that they are doing things like this. And you can see from a groundswell of disagreement from both Republicans and Democrats from the constituent perspective that they don't simply like what their policy is turning out to be. And it is a far cry from where the campaign was for the last 18 months. And I think the Republicans in office are going to find out pretty quick here that people are not just going to accept taking away their health care.
No, at least that's the hope. But let me ask you this. I mean, in looking at this town hall, as someone who ran against Sensenbrenner in the last election, in really an overwhelmingly red area, you're in the Waukesha area, right?
Well, the 5th Congressional District includes the Waukesha, or the majority of Waukesha County.
Which, as I understand, is really it's like where I live. It's the reddest area of the state. It's the Republican stronghold. So when you're talking to people, and when you're at this town hall, as the opposition in this, are you seeing people who obviously didn't vote for you kind of coming around going, hey, this guy's off the rails?
I saw people upset with the congressman's position and Republican position on the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And what I noticed was that they were being respectful for the most part. I didn't see anybody. There was no one that sweared at Jim. It was nothing like that. But what you saw was a real coming together, if you will, from both sides of the political spectrum in saying, we don't like what you're trying to do to healthcare. And we don't even like your explanation or what little bit of explanation you can provide. That, I thought, was more heartwarming than anything else, that people were willing to put their political ideology aside somewhat because this is a personal issue. This is something that affects every single person. And you could see that when you remove your political persuasion from a policy as a person, you then can see, well, it doesn't matter whether I'm Republican or Democrat. I need health care. I need access to affordable health care and something that's not going to put me in bankruptcy if something were to go wrong. And you know, the sad thing is that when Jim does all these town halls, he regurgitates the same answer, which tells me he's not listening. So the intent of going to a town hall is really to listen to what people are saying, and hopefully you will be able to take the things that you hear in those town halls and work that into whatever policy or vote you're going to initiate on the floor. Well, he's not doing that. He's simply he really wants to have these town halls and listen to his own little bubble to reinforce his position and then move on.
Yeah.
I mean, he might reference every now and again, oh, I heard from this one town hall, this one person said one thing. Well, if a room is telling you, we don't like the way you are going to repeal the Affordable Care Act and in the past, you're going to take healthcare down, that should tell you maybe I should listen to them. The fact that he's not tells you why the way that our structure is set up, especially in Wisconsin, about how bad the gerrymandering is. If we didn't have the kind of gerrymandering that we have right now, there's no way that a person like Jim Sensenbrenner could maintain the same position time in, time out without listening. Gerrymandering insulates him from having to listen to people because he simply believes I'm undefeatable, and for the last 38 years he has been, including my race against him.
I mean, I look at it, and again, it comes back to we've got to wake up as a country and push back against these kind of people who, you're right, it's not about listening to you. It's about being in their bubble. It's about in reinforcing their beliefs and then imposing those bad beliefs on the rest of us.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and even still, at the end of the day, I lost against Jim Sensenbrenner, but at the same time, he won the opportunity to work for me. And now he is tasked to work for all the people in the 5th Congressional District. That's his job. He's failing to do that. You have to be able to listen to, or at least be willing to listen to, the input that people who didn't vote for you give you. He's not doing that. He's not being a representative of all people. And that's a shame. That's why you have such division in our country right now. You only have one side listening to the people that either are their base or that will continue to donate money to them. That's the other thing. When you look at this gavel issue, do you think Jim Sensenbrenner is going into those big money donor events and gaveling people out to shut them up? No, of course not. He's not going to do that to people that are writing big checks to him, but he'll do it to people that actually vote for him. That is wrong. And the fact that we allow it to happen, it's a shame. This is not the kind of democracy that I believe America stands for. You can't talk about America's greatness when you want to shut people up with a gavel like that if you're not in court. If you're in the town hall and listen to your constituents, then you should listen and then be willing to have an engaging conversation, even when it gets spirited. Jim will have no problem interrupting other people, but when he gets interrupted, now I have to use a gavel. That's not a civil discourse. That's not the way positive interactions are supposed to occur.
I'm with you. Sally sent me an email, last question I've got for you, and she asked the question.
Sure.
I just watched the video. When the policeman slammed Kerry on the end of the chair, it looks like he's whispering in his ear. What did he say? What did the cop say to you?
He was actually surprisingly very calm, and he said, "One more outburst like that and you're out of here." I just simply said, "Okay." It was one of the few times living, I'm in this area, and I've been here for about 11 or 12 years, give or take, and it's one of the few times where I was reminded where I am, right? I mean, I'm a black man in an area where there aren't many people that look like me, and the when you have police who aren't as diverse as other cities are, I was just reminded, look, something could happen here, and I'm in no way going to instigate a situation where something accidentally happened to me. Yeah. You know, I was accidentally tased, or they accidentally broke my arm, or anything.
They accidentally
like that
shot you.
Right here. Right. I don't want anything like that to happen, because that's going to become the story, rather than the fact that I'm trying to get our $174,000 paid elected official to actually listen to the people he is tasked to represent. I didn't want the issue to be about the interchange between the officer and myself. It should be about the exchange between the congressman and me. So that's why I was quick to stop. Because, look, man, there's too many bad things can happen, and I'm not looking to be another hashtag as a black man.
No, I hear you. At the end of the day, though, I look at this, and again, the outburst, standing, asking a question, a lot of questions there.
Right, absolutely.
Kerry, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Love to have you back and tell us what's going on in the future.
Yeah, I would love to.
Great talking with you. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We got to get organized. We got to do it today. No more madness than you. No more disarray.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.